Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello. Thanks so much for tuning in to Lifestyle for a Lifetime Holiness. I am your host and teacher today, Dr. Gwyneth Williams. We are continuing to talk about our families, our close friends, that are like family, our husbands, wives, children, parents, brothers, sisters, relatives, and those that are so close to you, and how we can pray for them. And so today we are going to talk about extensively on exercising spiritual warfare for our families as the warrior priest. We've previously discussed preparing for priestly intercession, some of the hindrances. We went into an in-depth study of the firstborn. How are you a priest, and how are you the head of your loved one and your families, especially those of you who are saved? You're really the priesthood for your family. You're the one there to have and to have the spiritual guidance. Your role of a warrior priest. If there's no warfare without priesthood, and we discuss the aspects of how do we pray, just not Lord save them, but in addition there are certain principles in the scripture, and also how to pray for spiritual authority and your role as an intercessor. And a lot of this is based on Nehemiah 4 and 6. And we're going to start today with exercising our spiritual warfare for our family. You are the warrior priest. I want you just to say to yourself, you are the warrior priest for your family. And we will go into what the Word of God says as far as praying a hedge of protection, praying a hedge of thorns for wayward loved ones, what the scripture says about that, praying for household salvation, travailing in prayer and in labor, and prayer of binding and loosing. So we'll see where we get today. Holy Spirit, we just ask you to have your way in this teaching. You know each person that's listening live. You know those who will hear this teaching by tape, or radio, or internet, or however, God, CD. And we just ask, Lord, that you have your way and minister to them in Jesus' name. So let's look at, I want to start off with Proverbs 18. And this is, we're praying over our family. It says, the name of the Lord is a fortified tower, and the righteous shall run into it. So using the name of Jesus, it's our strong tower. The name of the Lord, when we are making declarations for our lives and for our family, we're always using the name of the Lord. Many times we decree and we declare that our household shall be saved. And, of course, we know we do this through the name of Jesus, but as a reminder, there is power in the name of Jesus when you are exercising your spiritual authority. Now, I just want to take hopefully no more than 2 minutes just to look at Nehemiah, and let's look at the fourth chapter. And we will look at the fourth verse, then read 6 and verse 7. And here we see the importance of the family. And Nehemiah is saying, hear us, our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their heads and give them over as plunder in the land of captivity. Now, if we go ahead and look at verse 6, it says, so we build the wall till it all of it reached half its height, for the people work with their hearts. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. So we see here that they're building the wall here. Now let's look down at verse 13. And it says here in verse 13, therefore, Israelite, it says, therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. So see how the family plays and play the intricate part. Now let's look at verse 19. And then I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, the work is extensive and spread out, and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. Verse 20. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us. So in exercising the spiritual warfare, we see as in the families, there is a part where you have to do your part. God will give you natural instructions, and when we carry those out, then he will come in and do the other part. And, of course, a very familiar scripture, and we will read this again from last week, and then we'll move along, and that is Job 1 and verse 5. And we know that he was concerned about his children, and this is starting at verse 5 through 10, and he actually was so concerned about them that he would make sacrifices for them because he was so concerned about them sinning. But it says, the hungry consumed his harvest, taking it even, Job verse 1 and 5. So let's move over. I've got, and we're reading from the NIV. So Job 1, and we'll start 5 through 10. And it says, when a period of feasting had run its course, Job would make arrangement for them to be purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular custom, and one night the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came to them. And the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? And Satan answered the Lord, from roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's no one on earth like him. He is blameless and he's upright. He's a man who fears God and he shuns evil. And it says, and then it says, he says, does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied, have you not put a hedge around him and his household? So here we're talking about the hedge. And I know every day as we pray, we should always pray, Lord, put your hedge around us. You are Jehovah Nisi. You are my husband. You are my houseband. And it goes on to say, in everything he has, you have put a hedge around it. You have passed, you have blessed the work of his hand so that his flocks and his herd are spread throughout the land. And so here we see the blessing. Now let's go ahead and get into the word. In Nehemiah, we'll go back there at 13 and 14. And what are we looking at here? You know, what do we see as we read earlier? We see there's here again we're seeing another wall that is actually being built. And this time I want to go ahead and read this to you out of the Message Bible. And we're looking again at Nehemiah, the fourth chapter. And we read it earlier, but now we're going to read it again. And I want to read it out of the Message Bible. Because what we're seeing here, there is a wall of defense. So in exercising spiritual warfare for our families as warrior priests, we're seeing here the wall. We're seeing here the praying the head, as Job did for his children, covering with the blood of Jesus daily, using the name of Jesus, where the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Now, in Nehemiah 4, and we will look at 13 and 14. It says, so I stationed armed guards at the most vulnerable places of the wall and assigned people by families with their swords, their lances, and bows. After looking things over, I stood up and spoke to the nobles, the officials, and everyone else. Don't be afraid of them. Put your minds on the master, great and awesome, and then fight for your brothers. Fight for your sons, your daughters, and wives, and your homes. He's saying, fight. Now, one of my favorite passages is in Ezekiel. And as you're turning there, remember, that wall was built. They were fighting for their family. They were fighting for their brothers and their sisters. And as we exercise spiritual warfare for our families, and as we end this session today in prayer, we're going to pray that your family's covered with the blood. You know, I always like to say, baptized with the blood. Cover. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. We got to use the name. And you that are in right standing, you can run into it. Come on. We have that strong tower that is around us, that we have that hedge. We have the protection that is over us. And you know what? As we read in previous and studied, the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Don't forget that. Your prayers count. And even right now, someone is listening. They're saying, oh, I've tried and I've waited and I've prayed and I haven't seen the results. God is saying, you continue to stand on the word of God. You continue to stand on the word and pray the hedge around your loved one. You will see the results in the prayers of those who are right standing. Those are in right standing avail much, and you will see the manifestation and the fruit of your prayers. So God is saying, don't doubt and do not give up. Keep on believing in what God has and what he has promised for you. Now, Ezekiel 22 and 30, and we're going to start there. You are a gap stander, and we're all going to stand in the gap for our family. It says, they tell people there's no difference between right and wrong. Now, I'm reading out of the message. They're contemptuous of my holy Sabbath, profaning me by trying to pull me down to their level. Your politicians are like wolves and prowling and killing rapishly, taking whatever they want. Your preachers cover up for the politicians by pretending to have received visions and special revelations. This is what God, the Master, says when God hasn't said so much as a word. Extortion is rife. Robbery is epidemic. The poor and needy are abused. Outsiders are kicked around at will with no access to justice. Now, this is the one I want you to get. It says, but I looked for someone, stand up for me against all this, to repair the defense of the city. Come on now. To take a stand for me and stand in the gap to protect this land, to protect your family, where I'm putting in there, so that, and are your loved ones, your friends that are close to you. And it goes on to say, so I wouldn't have to destroy it, but I couldn't find anyone, not one. So I'll empty out my wrath on them, burn them to crisp with my hot anger. Serve them with the consequences of all they've done. Decree of God, the Master. But this is a point I want you to see, verse 30, Ezekiel 22. I look for someone to stand up for me against all this. See, God is looking for you to stand in the gap. And so the question today, you know, God is looking for someone to stand in the gap, and he's saying, are you willing? Are you going to be the one who's going to stand in the gap? You know, I want to be a gap stander. Even as I was reading that scripture, you know, we're talking about family, but what about our nation? Our nation was built on the family. So goes the family, so goes our nation. And God is wanting to know, are you going to be that gap stander to stand in the gap to make the difference? He said, I couldn't find anyone. We don't want to get from under the umbrella of God. We want to stay under his covering. So we're talking about exercising spiritual warfare for our family. You are the warrior priest. I'm Dr. Gwyneth Williams. You're listening to Lifestyles for Lifetime Holiness. We are continuing our message on standing in the gap for our families, but how to pray for your loved ones. We don't want to just say, you know, God save them. But we have had an extensive study on walking in our spiritual authority, the principles that the scriptures tell us how to pray and how to be precise, our role as warrior priests. You know, if you're the only one that's saved in your family or you're praying for someone, you are the priest in your family. So we've been talking about our role, and so we're continuing on. But in Isaiah 58 and 12, it states, and let's read it. We just talked about standing in the gap, but I want to start at verse 9 here, and we'll read through 12. If you get rid of the unfair practices, quit blaming victims, quit gossiping about other people's sins. If you are generous with the hungry and start giving yourself to the down and out, I'm reading out a message, your lights will begin to glow in the darkness. Your shadow lives will be bathed in sunlight. I will always show you where to go. I'll give you a full life in the emptiest of places. Firm muscles. Ooh, we need that. In our exercise class and teaching this morning, we talked about firm muscles. Strong bones. And you'll be like a well-watered garden. This is one of my favorite, you know, scriptures and chapters. A gurgling spring that never runs dry. You'll use the old rubble of past life to build a new and rebuild the foundation from out of your past. You'll be known as those who can fix anything, restore old ruins, build and remove, and make the community livable again. And so that's where we want to emphasize here, Isaiah 58 and verse 12. We want to go and be the repairers of the breach. We want to be able to see the hedge around the individual. Now, I want to read this out of the NIV. It says, your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations, and you will be called the repairer of broken walls, the restorer of street dwellings. And this is as a gap standard, what God is saying. Just like in Nehemiah, when we looked at that in Nehemiah 4 and 7. See, that's our job. That's our goal for our families. He's just waiting on you to take the stance. And even as we pray now, in the name of Jesus, we just decree over your life that you will be that gap stander. You will stand in the gap. And not only will you stand in the gap, those things that are broken in your life, those things that need to be repaired, that they will be repaired in your family, that you will rebuild everything that God has from the spiritual foundation and perspective. It shall grow. And your family will be like that well-watered garden. Because, see, it's not about addition, but it's about discipling. It's about multiplication. And in Nehemiah 4 and 7, it says, but when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's wall had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. So God is saying, the devil, he don't want you to repair those broken walls, those ruins. But God is saying, I want you to stand in the gap for your family. And so we decree that over you, that you will be known. You are that gap stander. And you will stand in the gap and rebuild those walls for your family. Because, you know, the world, they're waiting on us. They're waiting on the church. Your family is really waiting on you. Sometimes we have to be active. We have to be willing to take a stance. Now let's look quickly and turn over, if you will, if you have your Bibles. Let's look at Amos 9:1-1. I like that. That's just saying this. I want you to remember this scripture because it's an emergency. In that we take care of our families and we restore. It says, in that day I will restore David's fallen shelter. I will repair its broken walls and restore its ruins and will rebuild it as it used to be. So, here we've been talking about praying a hedge of protection by covering with the blood, using the name of Jesus, building a wall of defense. But now, you as the intercessor, as the mature one, as the priest for your family, you are leading them and guiding them and directing them. You're closing in those walls. You're praying for your family. You're pleading the blood of Jesus. You're walking in that spiritual exercising the spiritual warfare for your family, so what? That they can receive the fullness of everything according to Deuteronomy and even according to Jesus. When he left, he said we would do greater works. He said we would walk in the blessings. We will receive the blessings. And so that's what God is wanting you to be, that gap stander today, so that we can see the fullness of everything that he has. Everything, and it bears repeating, everything that he has for us, everything. Not some things, not part of the things. Those things that are broken will be repaired because he is our Jehovah Shalom. He is our Jehovah Shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing that needs to be repaired, because he has everything that we need. He's just waiting on you to be able to act. And what does act mean? That act means to put action to it and to restore. So we decree and declare over you that restoration, that anything broken, that it would be fixed. Jehovah Shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. Now, as we pray, you have the authority to pray that God's angels encamp around about the ministers. Yes, we have the blood. We have the name of Jesus. There's a wall and a hedge. We can stand in the gap. But do you know that in Psalm 34 and 4, it says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. So because the angels are encamping around about us and all of our fears, we don't have to fear anything because God is there. You know, I went out today, and those of you who know the story, we're in a 40-day shut-in and in the woods. And last Saturday, two Saturdays ago, I saw a bobcat, and we had been out on the deck. And I came in, I'm actually sitting where I'm sitting now, I looked out, and there was a bobcat. And so I don't fear going out. I did a 3-mile walk today and walked, and I saw a huge snake. Guess what? It got in my way. And I stepped one way, and he stepped the other. But on the way coming back, guess what? I saw the bobcat. So I was going down one road, and I did a U-turn. But we don't have to fear. Because, you know, so many things we're fearful of, they're just afraid of us as we are of them. I never forget, I was on the island of Andros, and I wanted to do spear fishing. And one of the natives was showing me how there's the fish, shoots the spear, boom, he got it. And then he let me try, and there was a barracuda. And he was saying, don't worry about the barracuda. It don't mess with you unless you mess with it. And the same is true for some sharks. Not all, but some. I just heard that one of the ladies that was bit by a shark, she was pulling on his tail. And it caught on to her. They put her in the ambulance, and the thing never let go. She had to go to the hospital with the shark. So a lot of times we don't have to fear. They have more car accidents where people are swatting at a fly or a bee and they hit a pole. But with our family, you know, we don't have to, as the scripture we just read, we do not have to fear. Because God, he is there. He is there with us. Let's just read that one more time, and then in Psalms 34 and 4, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. And we only have a few seconds left in this broadcast, but I want to close, and next week we will continue here. We're praying God's angels around us, and we'll go into more depth. But I want you to turn to our last scripture, and then we're going to pray. Pray for you that your family, that you'll be delivered from any fear that you might have of something happening to them. We believe they're going to get saved of them not making it in. I know some people who have, they've lost a loved one, and when those loved ones have gone home to be with the Lord, not with the Lord, we've questioned it, but we want to have that surety. And let's close with this. And it says in Hebrews 1:14, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? So we just thank you, God, that you're ministering spirits are covering our families. We decree today that every person under the sound of my voice that as we lock hands in the spirit realm as a head of protection around our families, they shall see the fullness of salvation and walk in the blessings, and we shall be known as the repairer of the breach, the old waste places, the ruins, that they are covered with the blood of Jesus, that the name of the Lord is a strong tower and the wall and hedge, because he is Jehovah Nissi, is encamped round about them. And we shall stand in the gap, and we know that the angelic force are encamped around about them. In the name of Jesus, God said, begin to speak those things over your family. Begin to see your husbands, begin to see your wives, your children, your sons, your daughters, your nieces, your nephews, your mom, your dad, saved, and cousins, walking in the blessings, and those that are close to you like family, your friends and loved ones, and even coworkers, walking in the fullness. Next week, we'll continue with praying that the angels encamp around about and how they minister. We'll talk about how Peter released them and Elijah. We'll continue to pray about praying the hedge of thorns of the wayward loved ones, which is in Hosea, and how we lay siege, how we bind and rebuke in the name of Jesus, and so much in-depth study, praying for household salvation and travailing in prayer and binding and loosing for our loved ones. We have a little more in-depth meat of the word to continue. Thank you so much for listening to Lifestyles for a Lifetime Holiness. I'm your host, Dr. Gwyneth Williams, and we are declaring in Jesus' name for household salvation. Until next time, thank you so much.